Father, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the book of James. All right, we've talked about basic general themes. And, you know, one of the things that James says is that, you know, we use this constantly, right? If you're a believer, if you believe in Jesus Christ, prove it. All right, so James is a very, let's go do something about it. You know, let's show me your spiritual maturity, James is saying. All right, and basically, it comes in different chunks. So we talked about how, consider it pure joy. All right, there will be trials, there will be, you know, sufferings, and our spiritual maturity is developed through these trials and sufferings. Okay, one big chunk. And James does that throughout. He also, we talked about this last week, we also talked about the Word of God. Okay, and how our spiritual maturity is also brought forth through our response to the Word. So we cannot say, hey, I'm a Christian, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I read the Word of God, but, you know, my life is in a mess. Okay, or I don't take active steps to respond to the Word. Today we're going to talk about one other thing that James talks about, in fact, throughout his book, and that is the tongue. So basically, he's saying also that our spiritual maturity is evident through the use of our tongue. Okay, how we use it shows how mature we are. So turn with me to James, and we'll just read chapter 3, just the first section, and then we'll pick certain things out. So James 3. Okay, some of y'all discussed this in CG last week. We did the last bit of chapter 1. Got it. Okay, James chapter 3. Alright, let's all read together. We go from verse 1 all the way to verse 12. Okay? Ready? 1, 2, go. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large, they are driven by strong winds. They are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by men. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This cannot be. Today I want to talk about three things. James here gives us six items, all right, that he uses as illustrations. And we're going to look at them in pairs because that's what he does. So, the tongue. Okay? Do you remember when you were a kid, you went to see the doctor? The doctor says, stick your tongue out. Okay? That's the only time you can stick your tongue out. other than that, you stick your tongue out, your parents will scold you, right? Why you stick your tongue out? So the only time you're free to stick your tongue out is when you go to the doctors and say, stick your tongue out. You stick your tongue out and he takes this ice cream stick, or what looks like an ice cream stick then, and puts in your, I mean, put it in your mouth and, you know, press down the tongue and, you know, he has to look at your tongue and your throat. And, just by doing that, you know, he comes to certain conclusions about the health of your body. Right? And so, the three things that James talks about when it comes to the tongue. Firstly, he says that the tongue is powerful. Okay? It has the power to direct. It has the power to direct. And he brings out two items. And he says that, you know, look, you put bits into mouths of, you know, horses. And what that does, it is that it directs the animal. Huge animal, but that little bit. Okay, you know what that, you know what a bit is, right? Put it into the mouth, and then they have a rope or a piece of leather, okay, that you are able then to direct. And then he goes on to say that, look at the ships. Okay. How do you steer a ship? By a rudder. A rudder basically is, you know, in those days, a small piece of wood. Right at the end of the ship, for you to be able to turn and to steer the ship. And James begins by saying, you know, not many of you should presume to be teachers, because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. Now he's talking about the words that come out from a person. And I believe that, you know, all of us are teachers in some way or another. Okay, we don't, you know, stand in a classroom and teach, but we impart. And James also says this. All right, we all stumble in many ways. So James is not saying, you know, I got it, my speech is perfect. By saying we all stumble in many ways. But hey, consider this. You know, the tongue is powerful. It has power to direct. And so as teachers, as people who impart, we must remember that whatever we say, the words that we say has power to direct. Interestingly, he says this, okay? Where is it? Yeah, okay? We who teach will be judged once, we all stumble, and if anyone is never in fault in what he says, he is a perfect man able to keep his whole body in check. He's basically suggesting that, hey, if you don't take care of your tongue, your whole body is going to be in a mess. Right? Your whole body is going to be in a mess simply because, yeah, your tongue is not in control. There will be sin in the whole body. Now, you think about that. The words that we say, the words that come out from our mouths, leads to the things that we do. How many of you speak to yourself, talk to yourself? Got sometimes. Sometimes, if you talk to yourself all the time, then, you know, something may be wrong. Okay, sometimes. Alright? So if you are in a panicky situation, you tell yourself, okay, don't panic, relax right now. Got Okay? Breathe. How many is that? Okay, relax, breathe. Maybe you don't say it out loud, but under your breath, I know you. And then when you go to school or class and your boss does something and you get upset, you say to yourself, it's okay, relax, tahan, chill. Now what happens is this, when you speak it often enough, those words are intended to help direct. It has the power to do that. That's why you speak to yourself. Okay? Obviously, there are the positive and the negative aspects that sometimes we say things which we think are positive but may not be. Okay? Look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm the coolest guy in town. Let's build some self-esteem. But what happens is you will respond a certain way based on how you think and what you say. Alright? Based also on your values and your background. You say that long enough, you will act in a certain way. Okay, that's why as parents, when you become a parent and you have little kids, you never tell the kid, hey, you, bodo. Because if you say the fellow is stupid, and stupid all the time, he will act stupid eventually. Okay? And you impart values or you direct the person in a certain way. And so, it has the power to direct. And when it goes in, you cannot disguise it, you know. How many of you have been to a lift, elevator, and when the lift door opens, someone comes in, close the door, and you're thinking, man, this guy just finished his smoke. Okay? Is he smoking now? No. But how do you know that he just smoked? Is that right? Okay. Our lives are like that. You know? When we say something, and when it goes in, and we'll come to that a little later, when it goes in, it takes root, we respond in that way. So much so that others will just pick it up. You grow up in a community, if you grow up in a community whereby people, it is a norm for people to swear. Okay? They don't realize that it's bad. They don't realize. Until somebody comes in and says, oh, this person is there, I better be careful, don't say anything. Okay? But within that community, and sometimes you can get into a group of people and like, hey, we're all Christians. You know, this guy goes to church. Da, 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 da. But I mean, you go out and you're like, what's this guy saying? The first thing that comes to mind is this. Really Christian? Because what's inside is coming out. And the thing about the tongue is this, okay? If you say it enough, it will be inside and it will come out. It has the power to direct how you live. How many of you remember the first time you swear in front of your parents? No. You don't swear, right? Oh, you perfect. And then and then the parents turn and say, what did you just say? And then we are like, where did that come from? Some people are excited now. Okay. For me, it was this. Where did that come from? Okay. Because, hey, I grew up in a Christian family and we don't swear in at home, right? Where did that come from? Came from school, lah. Okay. Blame the school. But here's the thing. You mix, you hear, and you don't filter. Okay? You don't actively filter. Those words will eventually direct how you live. And if my parents, at that point of time, when it came out, did not say, where did that come from? What are you saying? Okay? Not allowed. If they did not say that, what do you think will continue to happen? It's going to be a norm. And we would live, I would live my life, continue to live my life saying that. Why? Because at some point, those words direct how I live. Number two. The next two illustrations that James gives is this. From verse 5, he says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And then he goes on to say in verse 7 that all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no one can tame the tongue. Let's go back to verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire. Fire and animals. The next two illustrations that James uses. And he says this, that just look at fire. It only takes a spark in a forest to destroy the whole forest. Wild animals, okay, can be tamed, but the tongue cannot be tamed. In other words, voila. You take an animal out of its habitat, not trained, not tamed, what's going to happen is that animal will destroy. Fire, when it's not controlled, will destroy. And so the tongue has also the power to destroy. Number one, it has the power to direct. Number two, it has the power to destroy. Turn with me to Proverbs. The words of the wise man. 26. Proverbs 26. Let's read from verse 20. Okay. 20, 21, maybe. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Verse 22. Let's go on. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Gossip. Words are like choice morsels. How many of you like seafood? Some. You look at this like, wow, that's not choice. When you take something delicious and like, oh, this is the best I've ever taken. Okay. Goes in for a little while, you remember it. But here, Solomon is saying this, you know. Okay. That gossip. Okay, it's like, oh, the choice. Imagine the, you know, the your favorite whatever lah. You know, steak, lobster, prawns, whatever. Just imagine that choice. Okay. And he says this, you know, gossip is like that. Like what? Gossip is like that. Why? Because when you look at it, very nice. Tastes very nice. The experience is nice. Okay. But then he also says that it goes down to the man, to a man's inmost parts. What's that? Stomach? Gut? Go somewhere. Now, do you think that he's just talking about the physical? The food that you take is absorbed into your body, right? Right? Solomon here is also talking about what we talked about earlier on. It has a power to direct. Gossip goes into our inmost being. And what it can do is it can also destroy us. It can also destroy us. I know all of us, if we are honest with ourselves, we can pinpoint a point, or maybe more than one point, many points of our life whereby we have used words and it has destroyed somebody. Somebody has used a word and it has crushed us. The sad thing is we remember people say the words that people say that crush us, and we forget the words that we say that crush other people. Why? Because we think of ourselves more than anything else. Right? And if we are honest with ourselves, we need to come to a point of repentance and say that, God, you need to help me control the tongue. Because James says, hey, nobody can tame the tongue. No man, he says, can tame the tongue. In other words, you also cannot tame. So what needs to be done is that there needs to be the Holy Spirit coming to help control. Someone who is in control of all things. And so, very quickly, number one, the power to direct. Number two, the power to destroy. Number three, verse 9. Verse 9. It says, with the tongue, we praise our Lord the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Can both fresh water and salt. I missed one verse. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Okay, so he gives the picture of a spring, okay? And then he gives the picture of a tree. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. Here, he talks about a spring and a tree. Now, the purpose of a spring, fresh water, spring, okay? He's not talking about sea, okay? He's talking about spring, which is fresh water. Fresh water is supposed to bring relief. Alright? And in those times, a lot of those times, those days, Bible times, they rely on fresh spring to feed their flock, to water their flocks and to water their crops. Right? And so spring is supposed to bring relief. Trees, same thing. A tree is planted so that its fruits, its produce bring some relief, some comfort. Okay? To our lives. But here, James is saying, can salt water come out? Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be, because if you find a spring and the water is salty, there's nothing you can do about it. It's not going to bring you any delight. Right? It's not going to bring you any refreshment. Okay? If you decide to plant a mango tree, you expect mangoes. If your mango tree suddenly produces something else, I think you'll be quite frustrated. Unless that something else is durian, right? So, James is basically saying the tongue has the power and it needs to be refreshing. Okay, if you are looking for a D word, it's delight. So it has the power to direct, the power to destroy, and the power to delight. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21 tells us that the lips of the righteous feed many. The lips of the righteous feed many. Or nourish is the other word that's used. Many people. So, if a person who is speaking righteously, people are nourished. It brings delight. And so, we as believers, we need to challenge ourselves and we need to ask ourselves, God, how can we tame this tongue of ours? Because at the end of the day, and this tongue has the power to direct, good or bad, right or wrong, everything that you say has an impact. Everything that you say upon yourself also has an impact. So we need to learn how to use it to direct properly. Remember the bit and the rudder. How many of you have been sailing? Of some sort. Okay. Or paddling. Go to Taiping Lake, right? Most of us have been there. You go paddle. And there's this rudder, right? That you control. How frustrating it would be if you paddle and you go this way. How frustrating it would be if you try to go sailing and that's all you do in small circles. And you know, sometimes our life is like that. Because whatever we say doesn't benefit anybody, doesn't do anything positive. We just go in circles. Whatever we say has the power also to destroy or to build up. It has the power to bring life. And so let me give you some practical ways as to what we need to do. Based on the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 19, the first one. James chapter 1 says this. In verse 19 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Slow to speak, slow to anger. And so, James basically says, listen more lah. Talk less. Talk less. Okay. Quick to listen and slow to speak. Number two, verse 26, chapter 1. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Keep a tight rein. In other words, bite your tongue a little bit more. Keep a tight rein. Not only slow to speak, you know, but hold back what you say. Okay? I remember once, you know, doing a Bible study. This one when I was a youth, James chapter 1. Slow to speak. Okay? Quick to listen, slow to speak. So that time we were saying, you know, my Bible study leader was saying, make sure every time someone says something, you know, don't say anything yet until that person has finished, and then you process, and then you say. Okay, and then obviously we all cheekily say, what we say after that doesn't matter, right? And James goes on to say the next thing in verse 26. He says, keep a tight rein. Right? So don't just say. You know, sometimes we say, We do this, you know, okay. Patience, let him talk first. Wait until he finish. After he finish, that's it. You know, then you release your wrath, okay? But I follow the scripture, right? I slow to speak, okay? I listen first. But this is what's happening to us. We listen, and while we are listening, we are building our case, our tongue, you know? Ready to go, you know? It's like we step on the accelerator, but we haven't released the clutch yet, you know. Yeah, you talk, talk. And after that, we release. But James says this, hey, put a rein on your tongue. Okay, don't just be slow to speak, but bite your tongue more. Okay? Don't just let it go. James chapter 4. Next one. Some practical ways. Verse 11. Okay, James 4:11. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. Alright? The first part says, do not slander one another. And so, James basically says this, don't put people down. Alright? Don't put people down. Refuse, make it a point not to put people down. In fact, he says that again in chapter 5 and verse 9. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. Don't grumble against each other. Grumbling basically says, I'm right, you're wrong. Why do you think we grumble? Because we think we are right. And the other person is wrong. We put people down. So James says, some of the practical ways is, we need to refuse to tear people down. James chapter 5, verse 12. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven, nor by earth, nor by anything else. Let your yes be yes, let your no, no, or you will be condemned. In other words, speak the truth. Speak the truth. Don't let your yes be yes and your no, no. Number 5, let's go back to James chapter 3. And this, I believe, anchors it all. Says this, James chapter 3, verse 8. We brought that up earlier. It says this, no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. And because no man can tame the tongue, we need to surrender to God. we need to surrender our speech to God. I was taught to think before you speak. God, school teacher there. Think before. God, I must ask the school teacher. Think before you speak. God, your help, God, none. God, do, think. Okay. Okay, write this down. All right. Think before you speak. Number one, T stands for true. Is it true or not? Okay. Before you want to say anything, ask yourself, is it true or not? Alright? If yes, then go to the next one, H. H stands for helpful. Is what I'm going to say helpful or not? Is it necessary? Sometimes the truth need not necessarily be spoken at that point of time. Okay? So, one, is it true? Two, is it helpful? If the answer is yes, move on and ask this question, I, is it inspiring or is it beneficial? Okay? Is it inspiring? In other words, it needs to build people up. It is so much easier to tear someone down than to build someone up. It is so much easier to say, you are, why are you so like that? Than to encourage the person. So I, is it inspiring? Does it build people up? And is it necessary? In other words, also ask the question, at this point of time, do I have permission to say it? You know, sometimes we don't have permission to speak into another person's life. Not necessary. At this point of time. If it's not, although it's true, and it may be beneficial, pause, hold on, and wait. Is it necessary? What kind of friend am I being by saying this? Although it may be true, although it may be helpful, but at this point of time, not really necessary. Sometimes we just want to say things. You understand what I'm saying, right? Just want to say, we don't think about the appropriate and the right time to say it. Okay. The last one, is it kind? You're guessing what it is. Is it kind? In other words, what are our motives? Okay. In speaking those words to someone or to a particular group of people. And if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times we fail. Okay. None of us are perfect. And we fail in many of these areas. But this is one big area that James addresses. Now, coming back, understanding the book of James, James basically says, you got faith, show me your works. Right? It has to come out from your life. Something must happen. You tell me you're religious, you got the word of God in you, the word of God needs to come out. There needs to be a response to the word of God. Or else, don't tell me you know the word of God. Not good enough. And today, this week, I'd like us to think about our tongue. Because James also says this. Okay? Our spiritual maturity is seen in how we use our tongue. How we use our tongue is evidence of our spiritual maturity. And so these are in three big chunks, James says it has the power to direct, it has the power to destroy, And it has the power to delight. We need to be submitted to God in order to allow words that are Holy Spirit controlled to come out of our lives. Because when Holy Spirit, when words that are not Holy Spirit controlled come out, it directs us in a certain way. You know, by now, you should know, Pastor Selena and myself, there's this, well, language evolve, right? Words evolve, meanings evolve, okay? You know, what started off, which meant something then, may not mean the same thing in this generation. Phrases, catchphrases, come on. Pastor Selena and myself, we get very annoyed, thank you, with this phrase, my bad. Why do you say it? Stop, pause, think about why you say that, okay? You probably heard someone say it, and like, hey, it's cool, right? Just say my bad. Why do we get annoyed? Because that phrase itself does not assume responsibility. A lot of times, it's, okay lah, my bad. Let's move on. Okay. Now, why am I bringing this up? I'm bringing this up as an example that, you know, sometimes phrases can be so easy. Don't mean anything. Go wild, lah. It's not controlled simply because we don't think about it. And what happens is this. Eventually, we will live the meaning, the essence of what he said. Here's the thing. I've realized that the people who say, my bad, say it all the time. All the time. See, it's not just one time, you know. It comes up very, very frequently. Okay? It is a response. Now, it's ingrained already. When it comes up very frequently, it's ingrained already. Very quick to say, my bad. Let's move on. And that's the spirit behind it, you know. My bad, let's move on. Oops, let's move on. Last time we used to say oops. Not your generation. Okay. It was just, let's just brush it away. And why does it come out so frequently? Because it's a lifestyle now. No responsibility, or should I say little responsibility? Oops. Nothing you can do about it now. My bad. Let's move on. If we have done something wrong, we need to really look into it and say, God, how can we grow, change, move? Yeah, it's a phrase that is used, and that phrase could have deep meaning. But right now, it doesn't. In this age and culture, it doesn't. We need to think about what we say, because that shapes your life and my life and the people that are around as well. Because you didn't come up with that phrase. Somebody came up with that somewhere. I don't know. Media or something. Our friends. We talk about it and we say it all the time. Why do you think people swear? And I don't know whether you know people. It's in the media, lah. You know, it's in Hollywood, lah. Every other sentence, got flower coming out of the mouth, lah. You know, and you know, skull and all that star, right? Normal. I mean, I know people like that who, in a conversation, it's just a normal thing. Doesn't mean anything.
It's just part and parcel of poetic conversation or whatever you call it. I don't know. And we don't realize that it shapes the person. It directs other people to do the same thing. And if we are saying things like that and we are not aware, it will shape. We have replacement words now because we, you know, cannot say the F word, right? So we replace it with something else. Okay? With, you know, an A word or an S word or whatever. Don't try to think about what it is, okay? Alright? And the thing is this. Same thing, huh? If it comes out all the time, no different. Really. If it comes out and like, oh, why did I say that? Okay. Then we are constantly keeping ourselves in check. Okay. Doesn't matter what the replacement word is. It could be flower. I know of people who encourage you to replace the word, you know. Okay? Don't use the four letter F word. But if you are angry, say something else. Lobster or, you know. Say something nice. Okay? Just to release your tension. What's the point of that? There's power in that, you know. Now, if every time you're upset with someone else and you say, "Ayo, that lobster," okay, that guy is a, you know, lobster. No! After a while, this is it. After a while, a lobster will have a different meaning in your life. After this, no one wants to eat lobster anymore. It will have a different meaning in your life. And the thing is this, those words would cause something to happen in our inmost being. The spirit by which you say lobster will grow. What's that spirit? It's not okay to just replace words and say that, well, I'm not using a swear word, so it's okay. It's not. Because we need to understand the spirit behind it. And you can replace that with any word. The moment you keep saying it, that spirit grows. No different from using a swear word. And it will kill, it will destroy, and it will direct otherwise. And so every time frustration and something comes up, we are not perfect, if it comes up, go to God in repentance. Don't say, it's okay. It's okay, I didn't use the F word. It's not okay. Father, we ask, O God, that you would teach us right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, to be able to know what you are doing in our midst, to be able to be submitted to you, O God. Father, you know our inmost being, you know what we say, you know what we think, you know how we use our tongue. And right now we want to confess, oh God, that we don't always use it in a holy manner. We don't always use it in a righteous manner. And we ask for your forgiveness right now. And we pray, oh God, that you would teach us by the power of the Holy Spirit to control, to tame the tongue. Lord, to be able to be submitted to your plans and your purposes. Because we do it all the time. And we ask for your forgiveness, O God. We ask for your forgiveness when we have, because we take it so lightly sometimes. And we assume that it is okay. And so, Father, we ask in Jesus' name right now that you would take your holy fire and touch our lips. Just as Isaiah, when he saw your glory, he said that, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Father, we come before you and we declare also that we are people of unclean lips. And we ask, Lord, that you would touch our lips. Touch our tongue, O God, that we may speak forth righteousness. Lord, that we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would be able to use our tongue to direct with righteousness. Lord, to have the power in the tongue not to destroy, but to build up. And Father, that the words of our lips would not only bring delight to you, but would bring delight to men. So Father, we pray that you encourage us as we submit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.